Well, good morning, everybody. Now, last time I stood up here and preached and took the service, people said you sounded terribly nervous. Well, the truth of the matter was, I probably was, but that wasn't the cause of it. The day before, I'd had my booster jab, and when I have my jabs, it makes me all like that and feeling very cold and shivery. So I hope I don't sound all cold and shivery this morning, because I really want to praise the Lord with you, everybody, and it's glad to see so many of you here this morning. That's great. Now, the gremlins really did set in this morning, right from the very start. A film that I'd got set up, a very short film for the London City Mission, went walkies on the internet this morning. I printed the wrong order of service for last week's instead of this week's. So we'll probably get things upside down and back to front, but we're still going to praise the Lord. That's a great thing about it. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we just bless you and thank you. You brought us here this morning. You brought us here, Lord, in safety. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to worship you really in spirit and truth and in freedom, Lord, and we bless you. We pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will inspire us all. Your love will surround us. And we know when we leave here that Jesus is in our hearts. In his wonderful name we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I was going to light the candles. We've got a couple of you. Who would like to light a candle this morning? Come on, Chloe. Can you help her out? It's certainly crapping up there. I've got to light four candles this morning.
Four candles.
Yes, I know. The two Ronnies. We'll never forget that one. That was really Britain. Really Britain. Welcome, Shirley. Shirley. I'll get it right, swimming. That's it. I'll keep up. Come up, sorry. Right, can anybody tell me the fourth Sunday in Advent? What is it?
Did I?
Yes. It's love today. Yes. Brilliant. Well done. Right, we're going to sing our first hymn. And I'm going to do it by remote control this morning, because I've pre-recorded it. It's O Come, Emmanuel. I better turn the sound off if you don't hear me sing.
Israel, that goes
If you'll read the commandments to us, something really different.
And this is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 21. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, am your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But we do not have God to speak to us or we will die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was.
I'm going to have a time now, family news, and while Mike's up here, he has something to say to us.
Yes, indeed. I said last week that we were sending money to India and to TWAM. First of all, we've sent more money to TWAM because of gifts that were donated, and we've sent a bit more money to India too. So we've sent £1,100 to India. I've spoken to Mary. She sends her love to everybody. She's hard at work. As you know, the National Health Service is under pressure, so she can get all the extra shifts that she wants to work. And so she's actually working today. And so she sends her apologies for not being here. But she will pass the money on to her brother, to the church in India, for their work there. We've sent £250 to TWAM as a result of the harvest and gifts that were given by individual members. So thank you again to everybody for your gifts. The Baptist Missionary Society runs a birthday scheme, and a number of people here are in the birthday scheme, which Fred organises on our behalf and does a great job, and reminds everybody that it's their birthday every year with a card and an envelope. And in that envelope, members put gifts to the Baptist Missionary Society to thank God for their birthday. And so we've sent £200 to the Baptist Missionary Society this week for their work with the birthday scheme and their work all over the world, of course. So pray for those gifts, that God will bless them and multiply them, that through the small gifts that we send, God will be blessed in a mighty way. Praise the Lord.
We want to keep the notices and family news a little bit short, obviously, because it can tend to go on. Has anybody got anything urgent?
It's Debbie's birthday tomorrow.
All right, I haven't played Happy Birthday. It's Debbie's birthday tomorrow. We can sing Happy Birthday without me playing. Come on, let's do it now. Come on.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear.
We've got two little ones up the back there whose birthday is, and we've got Rini's birthday.
No,
oh, sorry, Rini.
I've got something to say, it's not
birthday. Right, okay, we've got two little ones up the back whose birthday is due next week. So that's just remember Caitlin and Nettie.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Debbie.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Caitlin and Nettie. Happy birthday to you. May the dear Lord bless you. May the dear Lord bless you. May the dear Lord bless you, Natalie. May the dear Lord bless you.
Heidi.
Just a reminder, you've only got 1 month to let me have nominations for deacons for next year, because I need to have them in by the 16th of January. as you know, Rose has come to the end of her 3-year term, but she is willing to stand again. Or can you also be considering whether you should be approaching anybody else to see if they will stand as deacon? I'll try and have nomination forms with me from now on. Thank you.
So just a quick one. Obviously, carol service tonight.
6:30.
Slightly concerned about COVID things. So just be careful, wear your masks. If you can do lateral flow tests, that would be really, it would put my mind at rest anyway. If you haven't got any and are having trouble getting hold of them, I've got some in my bag, so you're welcome to come and see me afterwards if you want one for tonight. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Going to sing again, and I wonder if, say, this is a little bit of a mixture today with the hymns. Oh, they don't really go with what's on today, but I think they do. Because we're looking forward to Christmas, we're looking forward to Jesus' birth. So we're going to sing Infant Holy while we have time for a while. Sing that? Is there anybody else to add?
No, not that I know of.
Nobody else to add. So that's start. That's pray.
Oh, I see. They muted themselves. Yeah.
Lord and Father, we bless and praise you. You know our inmost being, our inmost hearts. You know every hair of our heads. And you know every single person that's up on that screen, Lord, and those we haven't mentioned that are there. And as we mention their names, Lord, we just ask that your healing hands will be spread and touch them now, Lord. You will bless them and heal them in body, mind and spirit. And truly bless them and let them know, Lord, that you are Lord. Lord, there's so many problems in this world. We lift to you places in the world where there's war, hunger and greed. Where children and adults now, Lord, are starving to death. Especially the Yemen, Afghanistan, Somalia and Ethiopia. There are other places as well, Lord, but they are on my heart. We lift our government to you, Lord, and Christian ethics will rule supreme in the lives of those who govern us. Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit will guide them. in all the decisions they make. We pray, Lord, they will listen to the small, still voice, the voice of you, Lord. We pray for the defeat of the COVID virus throughout the world, that your arms will surround all affected people and all people of this world, Lord, that your holy healing hands will cleanse this virus. We ask all this in the wonderful name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. I thought we were going to have more children this morning. We've actually had, but during the next hymn, perhaps they can go out and we're going to sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Right, can we sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, please? Notice what the third verse said. Oh dear. No, the verse, not the chorus. No. I know it's very difficult to sing a hymn and not remember what we're singing. The third verse says, "This dying world." Ask Jesus to do something about it, won't we? That is what the third verse was about. This dying world. And we are in a dying world. This COVID virus is decimating lives throughout this world. I'm going to read from Luke 22:17-30.
I know it's here somewhere. There we go. This is before the sermon, and actually it will actually come into the middle of the sermon, but I'd like to read it now, and then when we follow to communion there'll be some more words to be saying. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, this is from Luke 22:17-30. Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question amongst themselves which of them might be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not like that. Instead, the greatest among you shall be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you my kingdom, just as my Father conferred on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 thrones of Israel. So remember that last bit, what Jesus has promised each and every one of us in heaven. We're going to join him on the last days to eat and drink at his table. Now, I think I've got everything in order now. So, as I say, everything went upside down and back to front this morning. And all my notes for the main notes for today are at home still. And order of service. And a film I was going to show you has gone lost on the internet. So instead of being upset, I'm going to praise you, Lord, because you've got a purpose for it. Okay. The sermon. Now, Rin really does a sermon. She's actually brilliant. She gives us the background and the history and everything else. Now, I can't do it like Rin, you know, as good as she is. But I'd like to give you, during this sermon, a little bit of a history lesson. Because the sermon is a history lesson, and it actually leads to where we should be. And the purpose of this is, why are we here? Everybody's quiet. Could anybody give me a one verse, or a short say why they're here? Yes, Neil.
Because my conscience tells me I should be here.
Anybody else?
Worship God.
Yes.
Do you mean why we're here in the world, or why?
No, why we're here in this building this morning. Sorry if I've confused you.
Yeah, to join together to praise the Lord.
Now, we'll go for it twice, Jesus. First of all, God makes himself known to man. We'll go back all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God made Adam, he made Eve from Adam, and he made himself known to them. And he used to walk with them in the garden. But, outside the garden, there were still people, wasn't there? And some people say, oh, the world began 10,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. Well, my belief is that
that happened, how did Adam and Eve's children marry? They married outside the garden, and the Bible actually tells us that. So that's what I believe. Okay. We move on, don't we, from there. Because man sinned, they were separated from God, and he no longer spoke to Adam and Eve directly. Not the same as he used to walk with them in the garden. The world started to increase in numbers. And things started to go wrong. And along comes Noah. Now, how Noah knew God, we don't really know. Because there was no temples, there was no churches. At that time, there was no prophets or anybody actually told anybody about God. But Noah knew God, he must have done. And God knew him, he was a good person. So Noah and his family were saved through the flood. Still no church. Then we come to the patriarchs. Abraham and all the lot of followers, right up to Joseph. Now they all knew God because God spoke to them. But again, no formal worship, no churches, no synagogues, nothing. It was just them and God. And it was just a few people that actually knew God at that time, even though there was millions, still millions on the earth at that time. God hadn't fully revealed himself at that time, had he? Well, Joseph went to Egypt, as we know, and his family followed him during the... And from that family came a vast number of people. We were told 1/3 of 1 million men, which means 3/4 of 1 million people, doesn't it? Children and women, that's a lot of people. Well then, along comes Moses. And God spoke to Moses, firstly in the burning bush, didn't he? And Moses was a bit worried about this, so he asked that God spoke through Aaron as well, and that's what happened and followed on. And through them too, they actually spoke to the people, perhaps for the first time, about God. Because the people actually knew what to do at the Passover, didn't they? The new Passover, which God, they knew what to do. So Moses and Aaron must have spoken to them and told them that, well, the, you know, the blood over the doorframe and all the rest of it, must have told them, and they must have believed. Otherwise, they would have died. And then 1/3 of 1 million men and 2/3 of 1 million women and children, out they go from Israel into Egypt. Sorry, out of Egypt into the desert. Get that right in a minute. But God still hadn't set up a corporate worship. Moses spoke to the people, but they didn't actually, like we do, have songs and a little bit of a prayer meeting or a Bible reading, etc. Nothing like that actually happened at that time, did it? But things started to change, because when in the desert, just after they started moving, after they went to the Red Sea, God appeared to them as a cloud, and at night as tongues of flame, and he led them. But he told them at that time to build a tabernacle, didn't he? And he spoke to Moses, and as we heard earlier on, he gave Moses the commandments, and the commandments were put in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was put in the tabernacle. The tabernacle was at the front of the people, and they all followed along all the way through Egypt for 40 years. I've got to do it quickly, otherwise we'll be here till tomorrow. Exodus 13:21-22. By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Now, unfortunately, even amongst the Israelites, there was other religions. We know this because they started worshipping golden calves, etc. different places they visited had other religions, which at times they took up. And God really punished them through this, so that's another reason why they were going around for 40 years instead of 40 days, which is all it would have taken. God gave through Moses and Aaron many commandments which the Israelites were meant to keep, which actually gave them a way of living. And one of the important things was they were to set aside a day. Now I think probably this is the first time that people had actually got together to worship God on that special day. Well, the Israelites then moved in to Israel. They were actually become proper Israelites then, didn't they? And there's still no real formal worship, no place of formal worship, though we hear during the patriarchs, etc., they set up little altars, didn't they? Different patriarchs set up different altars to God, but that was a personal worship, not corporate. Again, there were many priests and Levites, as commanded by God, who started teaching the people about God. So this is perhaps the start of the early scriptures where they were taught. And on the feast days which God had commanded when he actually gave them their lessons and commandments, they would meet together at feast days. And you can imagine a lot of people meeting together at that time, wasn't it? So throughout Israel, you can imagine 750,000, they'll be probably growing by this time, started moving around, and they'd all joined together at feast days to worship God. Now if we imagine the number of people that actually did this today, or not during the time of COVID, if we imagine the amount of Muslims that go to Mecca, which is probably 1,000,000+, we know the sort of corporate worship that used to go on. We follow the time of the judges. And then the start of the kings. God spoke to the kings, he spoke to Samuel, he spoke to the judges, he spoke to Saul, he spoke to David. Now David wanted to build a temple, so he'd have somewhere to worship, so the people to have somewhere to worship. But God refused him. But David did bring the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And he had a time of worship while he did it. And as we read in the Bible, he had a dance in the Holy Spirit without any clothes on, which one of his wives weren't very pleased about. But he was so taken up by the Holy Spirit that he wanted to dance for the Lord. Now David sinned, so he wasn't allowed to build the temple. But God promised him that Solomon could build it his son. So Solomon built the temple, and as we read in the Bible, the whole of the nation was called together. Now again, we're talking about a lot of people all called together at the consecration of the temple. A major worship on feast days and at other days was carried out at the temple. The tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant were consecrated there as well. But things went wrong from then on, didn't they? And people were very disobedient. We know the Israelites, or the Jewish nation, were exiled into Babylon. But that wasn't altogether bad, because while they were in Babylon, they were spread out in different groups all around Babylon, which is today, so if people don't know, it's Iraq. And they were spread all around Babylon. And there was the priests and Levites went with them. And these priests and Levites started synagogues, which is called a building or a place of worship. That's what it means, a synagogue. It's quite simple.
So they started synagogues and small places of worship where people would come together. Now, David had given us some psalms. There was other psalms, wasn't there? It would be sung. There was prayers. And they worshiped. The early scriptures would be read out. And people would start to know God again. And God thought, oh no, he's a loving God. And he thought, perhaps it's time for them to go home again. Now, led by people like Nehemiah, they went back to Jerusalem and surrounding area. The walls were rebuilt, and Nehemiah was pretty good at that. And they followed that the temple was rebuilt as a new temple. According to the Bible, the second temple was originally a rather modest structure, constructed by a number of Jewish exile groups returning to the Levant from Babylon under, this is something I'm reading now, from the Archimedes appointed governor Zerubbabel. Now that's when the temple was rebuilt. Now for a while now, all we hear from are the prophets, aren't we, in the Bible. Things seem to have gone a bit quiet. We don't know what happened to the Jewish nation during the 400 years. But what we do know, the second temple, which was firstly timber built, was rebuilt completely. And a large and magnificent edifices and facades that are more recognisable. By Herod the Great. We know Herod the Great, don't we? We're coming into Jesus' time now. So the Bible was built magnificently, rebuilt. The second temple lasted for 585 years, that's simple and rebuilt. And then at 70 AD, as we know, it was destroyed utterly and has never been rebuilt since. Now synagogues, which were actually open at that time in all around Jerusalem and all around Israel, they changed little throughout the ages. But the Jewish people started spreading out, as we know, into Asia Minor, into Italy, into Greece, Mesopotamia is still back again. Lots of places they spread out, and these new synagogues were there. Now their services then, as of now, men and women were separated. Now in the liberal synagogues they're not separated, but in an Orthodox synagogue they are. Private prayer is encouraged. That means people are encouraged to stand up and pray. Every meeting has a time of reading from the scrolls, the Torah, the first five books of the Testament. I've been witness to this and it's very good. It's done quite nicely. We just go back just a little bit now as things change. We're now joining the New Testament. And the reason we are here, we're starting with. Jesus in his last 3 years visited many houses. And when he was in those houses, he taught. So we could say, perhaps, a church. Early church. And then we go to the Last Supper, which is very important, isn't it? As Jesus met the people and told them about worship, what they should do, what I've just read from Luke. He told them they should share communion with each other. And Jesus taught them at that time, and at the end, they sung a hymn. The Bible tells us that. They sung a hymn. And this followed on. After Jesus died and was resurrected, he appeared to the disciples many times into houses where they were meeting. Why were they meeting? They joined together as God had actually told them to do. To join together to have a time of worship. And during these times, Jesus appeared and joined them. And taught them a little bit further, didn't he? Before he actually rose. Let's read John 20, 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Go back just a little bit. The upper room where Jesus, with his disciples, celebrated the Passover again, became an early church, as it is believed that the early apostles met and worshipped there, in that room, following on. The day of Pentecost came. Now again, the disciples were in a room, worshipping God, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the disciples then became the apostles. Followers, but workers for Christ. The early church is mentioned many times in the book of Acts. It doesn't mention the disciples and apostles meeting in special places. It always says in people's houses. If you read through it, though Paul went to synagogues to preach to people, the people actually met mostly in houses, in the house groups, and it's the original church, the simple original church where people met, prayed, read the scriptures, and sang songs. The simple, basic church. But it wasn't all good, as we know, because the Apostle Paul, writing to the early churches, pointed out the error of their way, especially in Corinthians. That was a letter to the churches where they were going, especially in Corinth, where perhaps they were going slightly wrong and worshipping not quite right, in the right way. John, in Revelations, was commanded by Jesus to write to the seven churches of Asia Minor, because they were getting it wrong as well. And John was telling them what they were doing wrong, and they always put it right in no uncertain terms. Church of Laodicea, Jesus said, "I will spew you out." So they had to get things right, didn't they? So what has gone wrong with the church now, or through the ages? Well, there's only one word: man. Man is the answer. Instead of following God's instruction, the example of the early church, men decided to do things their own way. As the church grew throughout the world, different denominations were formed. And the church started moving away to the purpose of what church is. All these different denominations had a different approach on how to live and worship and learn about the Gospels. And that's still the same today, isn't it? We have so many different denominations and so many different ways of worshipping and praising God. Us, what should we do then? Instead of wanting to be part of a certain denomination or church, we should be concentrating on the true God through the Gospel of Christ, believing and trusting in our Saviour and what he taught us. The church is not a building, but a gathering of believers. A lot of people think this is the church. It's not. We are the church. The building is just there so we can keep dry. I want to belong to the true church. I really do. I want to listen, praise, pray, and learn in the true church. And I think that's important. Church life should not be one day a week, or when we feel like going to church, but an ongoing life in Christ, which should include daily prayer, Bible reading and study, joining prayer groups and Bible studies. That way we can all join and grow as a church. We can get bigger. More people will come to us. Unless we can set an example, which is very important, the church will never grow. How do people judge Christians? It should be by their love and by their example and by their good works. Not just by making a good cup of tea. Now, I've heard that called about the Church of England, actually, and make a good cup of tea. I think I've said enough. Let's pray. Lord, please speak into our hearts how we should continue within our Christian lives. Help us to grow, Lord, learn more about you. Be able to spread the good news amongst those we know and love. Also those we meet in the street. We need the strength of your Holy Spirit within us to be able to do that, Lord. We ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit within this church right now as I pray, Lord. Just as Paul prayed to the churches, in the early churches, and the Holy Spirit came. I really pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would descend upon each and every one of us here this morning. We bless and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now we always sing our last hymn. Not solid, the next hymn, not the last one. Could somebody go and get the children, please? We're going to sing Lord Jesus Christ. The second verse of that is the invitation for communion, which is the only time we actually sing that second verse.
Let's go.
in time of quiet, let's just give ourselves to the Lord. Ask him for forgiveness for the things we've done wrong, because it doesn't matter how good we are, we all do things wrong. We all sin. In our hearts, let each and every one of us say sorry. Because at the end of this passage which I'm going to read, Paul commands that people put themselves right with God. Father in heaven, each one of us has sinned against you in thought, word and deed, and sinned against our fellow friends and people that we meet. Lord, please forgive us in the wonderful name of Jesus. Cleanse our hearts with the wonderful blood which he shared for us and shed for us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I can really come forward, please. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." When you receive the little glass, because you just hold on to it, and then we all join together. Join together.
just thank you, Lord, for this time. This time of fellowship, Lord, where we join together as you commanded to eat and drink together. And thank you, Lord, and bless you. Comes our last hymn. You'll probably be glad because it has gone a bit along a bit. I'm sorry. I know now why the Lord made me leave the film went into cyberspace, because it would have had another 4 minutes of service. So that's good. Thank you. Let's join together and ask him in Christ alone. do we all stand in the power of Christ.
Yes.
Say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.